Well, good morning. It is so good to see you this morning and to be here with you for worship today and our time in Scripture. Let me ask you, if you have a copy of God's Word this morning, to open up with me again to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 will be our text today. As you're finding your way to Matthew chapter 7, I'm so thankful for the message that was just sung, that we have a Father and a Savior who desire a relationship with us. Jesus invites us to abide with Him. He's not distant. He's not far off. As we saw last week, He invites us to come and to knock, to seek, and we'll find, He says. And this morning, I look forward to finding what the Lord has to say with you this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. We've been in the study now for the past, several months, and walking through the Gospel of Matthew. We've made it through most of chapter 7 now, kind of finishing up the Sermon on the Mount, getting close to that. And as we studied the Gospel of Matthew, let me just remind you, the theme of this book is very simple, is that Jesus is the King, and we are called to build His kingdom. So we've been seeing how we are called to follow and build the kingdom of Jesus. And today we come to a verse that should be familiar to you. As a matter of fact, it really needs no introduction. I guarantee you, as I read this verse, you've heard it before, whether you heard it in church or somewhere else. But follow along with me, if you would, as I read Matthew 7, verse 12. Jesus is speaking here, and He says this. He says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Would you pray with me this morning? We'll take a look at God's Word together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that in Your grace, You invite us to have a relationship with You. You invite us, Father, to know You. You invite us to follow You. And Father, through Your Word, You teach us these things and You give us all that we need for life and for godliness. I pray today, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, as we look at this verse that we all know, I pray that familiarity, Lord, would not lead us to ignore what You have to say today. God, give us just a fresh understanding of this verse, a fresh application of this verse. Help us, Father, to be obedient to it. We don't want to just know it. We want to do it. So help us, Father, to obey. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you go all the way back to the year 222, that's a long time ago, 222, the Roman Empire was still the big man on the block, and you may remember some names of some various Roman emperors that kind of came along, but in 222, there was a new emperor who was crowned, whose name was Severus Alexandria, and Severus was crowned, and like I said, in 222, he was 13 years old, okay, 13 years old when Severus Alexander came to power. Now, if you don't recognize the name of Severus Alexander, you're not alone. I didn't either. I've never heard up from him. I was a history major in college. I've never heard of this guy, Severus Alexander. He's not known for a whole lot. He didn't reign for very long. But there is one little interesting tidbit about Severus Alexander that kind of has stood the test of time. During his reign, evidently, Alexander had heard of this verse. The teaching of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, had come to his ears. You know, the gospel hadn't been around that long at that point, not even 200 years, but he had heard this teaching of Jesus, and it had made an impact on him, so much so that Severus Alexander had the words of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, inscribed in gold, and he placed it on the wall of his palace. We know this verse as what? The golden rule, right? And we think it's called that for many reasons. This could be one of them, because it was inscribed in gold on the walls of the palace of Severus Alexander, the 13-year-old Roman emperor. But the thing about old Severus Alexander is, even though he knew the golden rule, and even though he liked the golden rule, he didn't necessarily follow the golden rule. As a matter of fact, his kingdom was marked with strife, with corruption. He was not a very good emperor at all. So much so that 13 years into his very short life and short reign, he was murdered by his own soldiers for his lack of competence. Evidently, they had not read the inscription on the wall of his palace, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They kind of ignored it for that moment. And so his reign ended. And here's why I share this morning. Not only does it give us a little bit of context and history and show us maybe even some application from this verse, but I think there's a warning there. There's a warning to us in this. Like Severus Alexander, everyone in this room probably knows this verse. Some of you have it memorized. Some of you have heard it throughout your whole life. Some of you may even have this verse on the wall of your house, or teachers on the wall of your classroom, which is a good place for it, or in some other place, maybe on the dash of your car. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We know this verse. We're familiar with this verse. But like Severus Alexander, being familiar with the golden rule doesn't mean we follow the golden rule. And so today I want to show you from this passage of scripture what Jesus is saying and what we need to do in response to this passage of scripture that we know so well. Now again, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been highlighting what kingdom life looks like. He's been raising that standard, right? Showing us what it looks like to love God with all of our heart, to obey the commandments. And he's given us all these different standards, raising that bar. Earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, he said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he's been showing us how to do that. Well, today we kind of put a bookend on that portion of scripture where Jesus once again sums up his teaching. And he tells us the summation of all of the Sermon on the Mount is found in this one verse. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And as we look at this one verse today, it's not very long, but we're going to break it down and follow along with it. But as we do, I want you to see today's big idea. I didn't have to get real fancy. The big idea of today is pretty well speaks for itself from our verse, but it's this. We should treat others the way that God treats us. We should treat others the way that God treats us. We're going to see this as we go along. But first of all, as we look at the golden rule today in this verse in the Sermon on the Mount, I want to break it down into four parts. We're going to begin by looking at some facts, and we're going to finish by looking at some questions. The first thing we need to look at today is what we desire. What do we desire? In the opening phrase of this verse, Jesus says, whatever you wish that others would do to you. That's what we need to do unto others. So before we get into here's what I need to do, we really need to understand what is it that we want? Because Jesus begins by saying, what do you want other people to do? What is your desire from other people? What do we want from those that are around us? Now, we can answer that question in a variety of ways, but as we look back this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, I want to show you there's kind of three categories of things that we desire from other people. Every one of us desires these three things from the people that are around us. And the first thing we desire is we want fairness. We want fairness. To be fair means you treat people rightly, you do the right thing, you're moral, you're good, you're righteous. We want fairness from the people that are around us. And before you balk at that and say, well, I don't know, I don't really know if that's such a big deal for me, let me take you back to your childhood. Imagine playing a game with your siblings or with your neighborhood friends, and I don't know, it could be hide and seek, maybe it's a game of ball, I don't know what it is, but imagine that someone that you're playing with, they cheated, okay? What did you say as a kid? That's not what? Fair. Every one of us knows how to say that's not fair, because hardwired within us is this desire right here. We all want fairness. We want people to do the right thing. We want people to treat us fairly. We want people to be good people, not mean or cruel or corrupt. We desire fairness. As a matter of fact, Jesus highlights this as we look at the Sermon on the Mount multiple times. He tells us to do the right thing, the fair thing. We don't have time to read all these verses, but they're in your outline. Let me just refer a few of them to you today. Matthew 5, verse 21, Jesus says, don't be angry with people. 5:27, don't lust. 5:38, don't retaliate. 6:2, give to the needy. Matthew 7:1, don't judge. Every one of those teachings that we've studied over the past few months highlight this idea that we're to be fair and right with the people that we interact with. Why? Because we all have a hardwired nature to desire fairness. We want fairness. What do we want? People to be fair. There's another thing that Jesus says. Not only do we desire fairness, but everyone in this room also desires forgiveness. We also want forgiveness. When we don't do the things that are good and right and fair, how do we want people to treat us? Well, with mercy, right? We want people to show us grace. We want people to give us a second chance, not to condemn us for those things. And again, Jesus highlights this idea as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, this theme of forgiveness over and over again manifests itself. Look at these verses. Matthew 5:24, be reconciled to your brother. Matthew 5:39, turn the other cheek. Matthew 5:40, don't retaliate. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Every one of these teachings of Jesus highlight this fact for us. We desire mercy. Now, we not only show it, but we desire it. We want people to show us mercy and grace when we mess up and don't show them what is good and right and fair. But there's another thing that we see in the Sermon on the Mount that highlights the human desire. We all want fairness. We all want forgiveness. But thirdly, we also all want faithfulness. We want faithfulness from the people that are around us. Here's what we want. We want people to do what they say they're going to do. We want people to love us unconditionally. We want people to stick with us when we go through times of hardship. We all want those things, don't we? We want people to be there for us, not to abandon us. And again, the Sermon on the Mount highlights this. We go back to Matthew 5:31, where Jesus says, don't divorce. The husbands and wives should be faithful to one another. Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Stick to your word. Matthew 6:5, don't be a hypocrite. All of these teachings highlight for us, again, this desire that we all have innately, that we want faithfulness from people. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. We want people who are going to love us and walk with us through our times of difficulty. So there's other things we could add, right? We want other things in life, but when we think about what do we want from the people that are around us, this is a pretty good list, isn't it? It sums up a lot of things. We want people to be fair and moral, to do the good and right thing. We want people to be forgiving and merciful, to show us grace when we mess up. And we desire faithfulness and unconditional love from the people that are around us. Everyone in this room desires those three things in some form or some fashion because God designed us that way. These are the things that we desire. So if that's what we desire, now we can answer the question that Jesus gets to next. Look at the second point. What do we need to do? If those are the things we desire, now what should we do? Verse 12, Jesus said, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. All right, so follow along with me. If we desire fairness and forgiveness and faithfulness, then what should we do? How about show fairness and forgiveness and faithfulness, right? Now, again, a lot of times we kind of make the Bible out to be complicated and hard to understand, and I just don't know what God's will for my life is. This isn't rocket science. How do you want to be treated with those things? Then we need to do the same exact thing to other people. We should be giving others the very things that we desire. Now, here's the thing. Jesus isn't saying be self-serving. That's what the world tells us. But instead, he says, if we desire these things, all of us, we should be going forth into the world and showing these things to the people that are around us. Doing it first, right? If we want people to treat us this way, let's set the standard and set the example. These are the things that we should do. If we want fairness and forgiveness and faithfulness, set the example and show them. But here's where I want to be careful. When we read the golden rule and we read this one verse and you say, well, I know this, I know what it means, I'm supposed to treat others nicely, understand this. The point of Matthew 7:12, this is not a sermon on how to be a better person. Jesus' goal isn't to just tell us to be better people, to be moral. Jesus is out to show us something bigger and something better. And let me show you what that is. We've seen what we all desire, and we know now what we need to do. But why is this so important? It's important, number three, because of what the Father displays. What does our Father display for us? Look at the end of verse 12, perhaps the most important phrase in this verse. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What does that mean? This is the law and the prophets. Let me just remind you, you can go to any religion in the world and find a teaching that's close to this. A lot of other religions say, don't do wrong things to other people if you don't want them to do wrong things to you, or be kind to others. Those are common moral religious teachings. But this phrase right here sets what Jesus says apart. He says, if we do unto others as we desire, this sums up the law and the prophets. It sums up the word of God. Which leads to this first part. If this is what the Father displays, this is the essence of the Word. The essence of the Word of God. Jesus said the golden rule sums up the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets are a kind of a way of referring to the Old Testament, the Word of God. The books of the law, the prophets, the Psalms, it all goes together. Jesus highlights them. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the beginning of his teaching, he says he highlights these things. And he says that if we do unto others as we desire them to do to us, that's a pretty good summation of the law and the prophets. You can kind of encapsulate the Old Testament, Jesus said, into that one statement. He says this again later on in this gospel. You know these verses. Matthew 22:37, Jesus sums it up again. He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice the similarity here. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So again, Jesus says, take it all, put it together, here's what you get. Following Jesus, being a Christian is not rocket science. Love God, love people, treat people the right way. Treat people the way that you want to be treated. You can sum up the law and the prophets that way. Look at the Ten Commandments. Don't murder, don't steal. We don't do those things because we want to love God and because we want to love people. Sum up the law and the prophets, Jesus says, with this. It's the essence of the law. But not only that, when he says these things sum up the law and the prophets, it's not just the essence of the word, but we also need to look at the example of our Lord. This is where it gets so important. The example of our Lord. Jesus, when he came to the world, understand, he didn't just come to be a good teacher. He didn't just come to give us some religious sayings. Jesus came as God in the flesh, the Word of God incarnate, to live among us, to live a perfect life, and to show us what this looks like. Do you remember what Jesus said in the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount? He says in Matthew 5:17, "Don't think I came to abolish the law or the prophets, but instead I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Jesus came to show us what it looks like to love God and to love people and to treat other people the right way. And so when we look at Jesus, you know what we see? Look back at the life of Jesus. Look at his ministry. Read the Gospels. You know what you'll see? You'll see Jesus was fair. He was good. He was right. He never did a thing wrong. He never mistreats anyone. He never deceives anyone. He upholds this perfectly right and fair standard. He's always just, always true. Always was in Scripture. And even right now, Jesus sits on the throne of righteousness, judging fairly. Jesus is fair, always. But we also see when we look at our Lord, Jesus is always forgiving. Look at the examples of people who come to him in Scripture. Just wicked, sinful people who come to Jesus desiring to follow him. What does he say? "Oh, I'm sorry, you're not good enough." Is that what he says? No. He says, "Your sins are forgiven," to the paralytic. What does he say to the woman who's caught in her sin? He says, "I'm not casting a stone. Go and sin no more." What does he say to the people who nail him to the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus' life and ministry was marked by forgiveness. And even right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for sinners like you and me who have no hope, but we can come to the Father because Jesus is still willing to forgive our sins, no matter who we are or what we've done. He's always forgiving. He's always fair. He's always forgiving. But you know what else Jesus is? He's always faithful. When you look at the Gospels, Jesus never left anybody, never forsook them. How about the disciples, the old 12 knuckleheads, right, who were always questioning, never following the right way? Did Jesus say, "I'm just tired of you guys, I'm going to go find me 12 brighter students"? No, always faithful, and Jesus is always faithful to us. What does he promise us? "I'll never what? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Jesus is perfectly faithful. So we look at all these things, and we need to understand something very important. Jesus didn't just teach the golden rule. Jesus models it perfectly. Never falls short. Matthew 7 verse 12, Jesus embodies this idea of loving the Father with his whole heart, loving people so much that he does the right thing in every situation. It's not just what he says, it's what he does. And that's what separates Jesus from every other person who walked the planet. No one else can make that claim but Jesus. And that leads us to our final thing. When we look at this verse, now we understand what this verse says. We understand what this verse means. We understand what we need to do, but now we got to ask some questions. What do we need to discover based on these verses? We always want to read the Scripture and say, "Father, how do I respond to this?" We know the golden rule, but if we don't want to be like Severus Alexander and hang it up on a wall and not do it, we need to ask these questions. Here are four questions to ask in response to this verse. Number one, have I been fair? Have I been fair? As we look at this verse and say, "All right, God, I desire fairness from other people." Well, how are you doing in that area? Have you been fair? Have you been right? Have you been righteous? Have you been a moral example? Have you treated others that with kindness and with that right standard, not deceiving anyone? Is that the mark of your life? Have you been fair with other people? Or have we been selfish and greedy and wicked and deceitful? Have you been fair? Question number two, have I been forgiving? Have I been forgiving? If God calls us to forgive so that we can be forgiven, how are you doing in that area of your life? Are you quick to show grace, quick to show mercy, quick to overlook wrongdoing? Are you quick to turn that other cheek and show mercy to someone? Or do you hold on to those things and harbor resentment and bitterness in your heart? Do you want to get back at someone? Have you been forgiving? Question number three, have I been faithful? Have I been faithful? Jesus said we're to be men and women of our word who stick to one another like a brother, who don't abandon one another, who don't forsake one another, who love one another conditionally. Have you been doing that? Or have you been selfish with your life? Have you just been kind of a casual friend who just kind of sticks to somebody as long as it's good and you get something from it? Or have you been not honoring your word? Or maybe you've abandoned someone. Have you been faithful? Have you been fair? Have you been forgiving? And have you been faithful? Those are some important questions. But you know what? They're not just important questions. They're sobering questions. Because I have a feeling there are people in the room this morning that are like me. And I ask myself these questions. I read this verse, Matthew 7, verse 12. I hear what Jesus says. And as I ask these questions, you know what my answer is? Have I been fair, forgiving, and faithful? The answer is no. No. Anybody else want to identify with the pastor this morning? Thank you, Marcy. I see you. Nobody else. Thank you. We'll go out to lunch after church, Marcy. How's that? We'll commiserate together. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all messed up. None of us show this perfectly. None of us have been perfectly right and fair and moral. None of us have showed forgiveness at every opportunity. And none of us have been perfectly faithful. But there's some good news in this. Listen to me. Even when you and I break the golden rule, Jesus is willing to show us grace. Even when you and I can't measure up the golden rule, right? It's a standard. Even when we can't meet that standard, Jesus, his grace is sufficient for us. He reaches down in our disobedience and says, if we confess our sin and place our faith in him, he will forgive us. Why? Because he met the standard. Because he lived the perfect life. Because he lived out this golden rule perfectly. Loving the Father perfectly. Loving others perfectly. Always fair. Always forgiving. Always faithful. So much so that he came to this world, lived perfectly, died on a cross, rose again. Glorious day we sang earlier. Why? Because that is the way that you and I can have forgiveness and salvation. But no other way under heaven and earth can we be saved other than the trust and the grace of Jesus. So when we ask those three questions, have I been fair and forgiving and faithful? And the answer impresses upon my heart, no, I have not been that way. What hope do we have? It leads us to a fourth question, the utmost important question. Have I been forgiven? Have I been forgiven? Because when we look at the answer here, no, I haven't been all these things. I haven't followed the golden rule. I haven't met that standard. Our only hope is in Jesus, the one who has. Our only hope is to repent of our sin and place our faith in him for salvation. That's all we've got. Listen to me. This is the most important thing I'm going to say in this whole sermon. When we think about the Sermon on the Mount, when we think about this verse all together, don't get the idea that this is a be a better person, live a better life, be kinder, be nicer. That's not the point of this sermon. The point is this. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. You only get to heaven by being a saved person. None of us can meet this standard, but Jesus has. And Jesus offers us his grace if we repent of our sin and place our faith in him. And so when we stop and we think about it that way, it changes this. It becomes more than a sign on the wall that says, well, I guess I better be a nicer person today. Instead, we look at this and we see Jesus. And we see his love for us, we see his grace towards us, and then that motivates us to want to show it to other people. And that brings us back to our big idea. It's not just treating other people nicely. It's treating other people the same way that God treats us. And how does he treat us? With fairness and morality, with forgiveness and mercy, and with faithful, unconditional love. So are you doing that? Are you showing grace? Are you showing mercy? Are you being faithful? You know, the thing is if we're not, how hypocritical do we have to be to say, Jesus, I want these things from you, but I'm not willing to show them to the people that are around me. That is the definition of hypocrisy. So if we want fairness and forgiveness and faithfulness, let's be quick to show it. And the only way to do that is by depending upon Christ. Now this morning, we're going to finish up by doing something very special and very important. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And the reason that we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in conjunction with this verse is because they go together. You know, a lot of times we think about the Lord's Supper and we think about, oh, Jesus died, Jesus rose, I'm going to drink the cup and eat the bread. But we need to understand something. The Bible is very clear, listen to me. The Bible is very clear that before we do what we're about to do, we need to ask the questions that we just talked about. Because when we come before the Lord, the number one thing we have to ask is, have I been forgiven? Do I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior? Only the church of Christ, only believers, followers of Christ are eligible to partake of these elements. Have you been forgiven this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And maybe you're hearing you say, yes, I do. Well, listen, the next question you needed to ask is, have I been fair and forgiving and faithful? Because the Bible tells us before we take these elements, we need to have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with one another. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we don't have time to look at it this morning, but if you go to that passage, the greatest indictment of the church about the Lord's Supper was that they were celebrating this without asking those questions. They were being selfish. They were being prideful. They were harboring resentment. They were not being kind and fair with one another. And you know what the Bible says? The consequence of that was if they did this without asking those questions was sickness and death. How about Severus Alexander? Anybody want that? No. So before we do this, we need to spend some time right here on our knees before the Father saying, Lord, thank you for your grace and your forgiveness for me. Would you help me to show that to other people? And as you're praying this morning, maybe God will convict you of something. Repent of that. Trust in him. Seek forgiveness from him. Maybe you need to have a conversation with somebody. Maybe you need to make things right with a brother or sister in Christ. The golden rule is more than a sign on a wall. It's a standard of righteousness that Jesus met and he calls us to as we follow him. Are you following him? Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for its pointed clarity. God, I thank you that it's not confusing. It's very simple. We're to follow you. But God, I thank you that even as we fail, there's grace, there's mercy and forgiveness. But God, I pray that we wouldn't just be recipients of it, but we would be givers of it. Help us, God, to love you with all of our heart, and may that overflow into a love for others. So Lord, even right now, as we ask ourselves these questions, reveal to us the condition of our heart. If there's someone here who needs to know you as Lord and Savior, may they come. If there's someone that needs to repent, may they come. If there's someone who needs to make things right with another brother or sister, may they go to that brother or sister. Help us to respond to your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.